I'm sure many of you have heard of once-a-week Christians. Technically, I have a problem with that because I used to be a once-a-week Christian. He calls us to worship Him 24/7. We are not called to be Sunday Christians. As we wrap up this season of Grace and Truth, I'd like to talk about what it means to be a 24/7 worshiper. Hey guys, welcome to this week's podcast. I'm a grateful, gospel-centered disciple of Jesus Christ who struggles yet perseveres, and my name is Dave. I hope and pray that you're doing well. Today's podcast, entitled Be a 24/7 Worshipper, was broadcasted live on Facebook on July 3rd, 2020. Let's take a listen. Apparently, according to the Sacramento Bee, while we are able to gather together again as believers in our churches, there is one clause that the governor has made clear to us, and that is that we can't sing in our churches, even if we're wearing masks. And that has caused some controversy. So last night, I'd posted on my personal Facebook page a question to my friends. And I wasn't really giving an opinion at first. I was just asking for everybody's thoughts. It said basically in the headline, singing in houses of worship banned until new order from Newsom, banned under new order from Newsom as pandemic worsens. The question I asked on the post is this: with the recent ban, is this the part where we need to exercise civil disobedience? In other words, we should serve God rather than man? And it's a fair question because I was listening to a program from John MacArthur and Phil Johnson, who are both from Grace to You. And they talked about how this pandemic is not necessarily considered persecution because a lot of the churches are voluntarily just doing online only to be careful and courteous and loving to our neighbors. Because think of it like this. I mean, we don't know if any of us have this virus. We don't know if we're tested positive. And yet, think of it like this: when someone comes to the church doors, the last thing we want is to spread something that we never intended to. I mean, that's not very loving. It's kind of like head lice. When your kid comes back from school and gives you a note, and the note says, "We want to let you know that someone in our school has recently had head lice." You don't know if your kid had head lice or not because it's one of those things, so you got to take precautions. This one's a little different, but you get the idea. In any event, I got a lot of responses on this issue, some of them ranging from, yes, we should disobey the governing authorities and we should sing in our churches anyway, but others are like, we're not being prohibited from meeting in general. Besides, we can sing on different days of the week. One of my friends, who is the worship director at one of my previous churches, where I now visit to supplement my involvement for my current church, he said something that was so profound, and I want to read that to you. "I think we are so comfortable as the American church that we can't even see how blessed we truly are to have the resources we do in this moment. And if we think this is true persecution, we are proving our comfortability. The church is so much more than Sunday service and singing. And I love singing. It's my passion. I'm a worship leader, and I understand the many ways that these things are integral parts of the life of the church. But look at what we do have, live streaming and Zoom small groups. How lucky are we that we aren't in the decades before these things were available? We'd be in a completely different place as a church. We need to also remember that this thing is still unpredictable, and we don't know enough about its spread and passage to say one way or the other as these new spikes in cases are coming, especially in younger folks. And remember, we're wearing masks and not singing to be loving and courteous to those around us because we could be an asymptomatic carrier and we would have no idea. We sing and aspirate the virus and then people get hurt. That is not the goal. Is hurting anyone deeply affecting the lives worth putting up a fight like that for? Worship is a matter of the heart, and we should be happy that we're able to meet again, not angry because we can't do it in the way that we're comfortable with. I deeply disagree with many things our governor does, but I'm choosing to see this as a measure to allow us to meet safely still and have community, but without endangering people. A follow-up comment from another friend of mine who used to be one of the admins of my parents' church for young adults said this: He, that is the governor, hasn't banned worshiping God, just singing. It's not a political move, but merely a safety issue. The virus is spread by droplets, and we emit lots of those when we sing. I think the best way to love God and love each other is to do what we can to not make others sick while still continuing to worship God with our whole lives. We can still sing to him alone or with small distance groups or over Zoom. The no singing thing is just for our protection, and we're in no way being told we can't worship God. He can still be glorified in all of this. Now, I couldn't agree more with both of them, because one of the things that we as believers, especially here in America, have forgotten is that worship and singing praises to our God cannot be limited on Sundays. We've made it into just a Sunday morning thing or Sunday night thing or Saturday evening thing or just once a week. I'm sure many of you have heard of once a week Christians. Technically, I have a problem with that because I used to be a once a week Christian. I used to be a Sunday only Christian. It wasn't until I got the healing that I got on February 6, 2015 that I started to realize that that mentality had to go. The moment I surrendered myself to him on February 6, 2015, I learned that I have to worship God every single day with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that you only do that on one day of the week. Yes, there's a passage that says, remember the Sabbath, but that's talking about rest, a day of rest. But we're talking about worship. We're not talking about rest. We're talking about worshiping God, and in Scripture, I don't think there's any passage in Scripture that says that we are to worship God only once a week. No. He calls us to worship him 24/7. And when you read the Psalms, which is the songbook of the Bible, he commands us to sing, but he doesn't command us to sing only on Sundays. He commands us to sing every single day. I would encourage you to read the Psalms on that. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, Dave, that's nice and all, but not being able to sing on Sundays, being told I can't sing at church on Sundays, can't we just disobey the governor on this? One thing you might want to keep in mind is this. This is not persecution. This is a safety issue. The governor is just asking us not to do that. And because we care about the people in our lives and we care about those who don't know who Jesus is, would we want to harm those who don't know Jesus? No. We're called to love them. We're called to be a witness to them. Bringing them in to a building where currently we're in an uncertain time right now with a virus that is like unpredictable, not knowing that this virus could actually be in our buildings, that's not loving. That's a bad witness to our people. That's a bad witness to our world. We really need to put others before ourselves, not focus on ourselves. And this is not the same as what Daniel experienced in Daniel chapter 6. I would strongly encourage you to read that account. But in summary, basically, a law was passed by persuasion from the wise men, because the wise men were not happy about the fact that they lost their position from Daniel. Well, basically, they wanted to get promoted, but Daniel beat them to it. And they basically persuaded Darius to pass a law saying that everybody in Babylon was to only pray to King Darius. And so after the law was passed, Daniel knew about the law, but he also knew God's law. And God's law told him that he should only pray to God. So what did he do? He prayed to God in his home. Now, we're not talking about praying in homes. In this case, we're talking about praying and worshiping and singing to God in a building, a church building. Remember, the church is not a building. We are the church, gathered and scattered. The building is just a building. And in Daniel's case, the wise men catch him at his home and then throw him into the lion's den. Eventually, he gets out, of course, and then those wise guys get thrown into the lion's den instead. This is not the same as what we're encountering right now. The police are not at my door right now knocking and saying, "Dave Chu, we have a warrant for your arrest for preaching God's word on Facebook." We are fortunate to be living in a free country where that is not happening. Or think of it like this. I'm driving to work and I'm playing a song from Sovereign Grace Music. One of my favorites right now is "Jesus, Thank You." And I'm singing, "Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you." The police are not going to, the CHP is not going to pull me over, wow, 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 and come up to me and say, "Sir, you're singing worship songs while you're on the road. We're giving you a ticket." No, that's ridiculous. The only reason why the CHP would pull me over would be either because I was speeding, or if I was like, if I had a taillight broken, or if, what's another example? If you were making a lane change without your blinkers. Oh man, I don't know how many of you can't stand that. I mean, I can't stand it when somebody speeds on the highway without their blinkers. That is terrible. But you see, that would be a reason why they would pull you over. They're not going to pull you over for singing worship songs in your car. That is not what we're encountering right now. What Daniel experienced with the wise guys, or wise Alex, whatever you call him, that is not what we're experiencing right now when it comes to this pandemic as Christians. I really want to make that clear. And on that note, when it comes to cars, I want to make something very clear on that. I understand that worshiping the Lord in song is important to all of us, and we're commanded to. So what's a solution? This is where we find a solution to the problem. I do this all the time. Whenever I go to Three Crosses, because I have an aversion when it comes to Elevation and Hillsong and Bethel, because I don't like their theology, I listen to songs from Sovereign Grace Music, from the Gettys, Keith and Kristen Getty, and recently, City of Light. I love City of Light. They have some great, rich gospel lyrics. And like Hillsong, they're from Australia. But their theology is more in tune. Even Tim Challies likes their theology. I can listen and sing praises to God on my way to church. And then we worship by listening and studying His Word together as a community. And then when we're on our way out, I can worship the Lord in song again on my way home. You see, it really doesn't matter at this point where you worship the Lord. What matters is, are you singing it out of your heart? Yes, you may have. Yes, we can sing it anywhere. We can sing it in praises when we're at work. Well, of course, certain places. We can sing praises in our homes, in our cars. I mean, you name it. It doesn't have to be in the church building. So for those of you who view this as persecution, I would challenge you to reassess your position, because this is not persecution. We're not experiencing the persecution that Daniel had experienced when it came to defying Darius's short-lived law to only pray to him instead of God. Because obviously, we're just being asked by the governor not to sing in the church buildings. We can sing in our homes. We can sing in our cars. This is not persecution. This is a safety issue we're talking about. And you know, friends, I understand also that there are some of us who are not thrilled with our leaders. But you know, I have my opinions about my leaders as well, but I want to encourage you with this, and this is in its proper context, and I know we hear it a lot, but we have to be reminded of this regardless. Hebrews 13, and I'm going to read verse 17, and I'm going to read verse 18 as well, especially for those of you who are pastors. Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now, on behalf of many pastors and ministry leaders and vloggers as well, I want to say this to you, to borrow the words of the anonymous writer of Hebrews. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. I could not agree more with the author of Hebrews on that. Bow your heads with me, will you please? Father God, Adonai, we thank you that you are still with us. Lord, we recognize that this whole pandemic has just really screwed up our lives. We don't understand why it is that this is going on, but we know that you are working even in the midst of it all. Help us to be reminded of that. And Lord, would you also help us to discern what we are hearing and what we're reading on social media? There are so many people who are against masks. And there are so many people who think that we should be civilly disobedient when it comes to this issue of not singing in churches, but Lord, would you remind us that we are to sing to you, we are to give praises to you, and we are to worship you 24/7, not just on Sundays, but every day and every hour. Father, thank you for what you're doing. And we ask that you would continue to give our leaders wisdom as to how to continue to approach this pandemic that we're in. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, that's it for this season of Grace and Truth. We'll be back in the springtime with a brand new season. Have a blessed and safe winter, and we will continue to pray for all of you during this difficult season that we're all in. Thanks for listening. You can contact me at my website, chewmadenew.com, or you can call me at 510-516-CHEW. That's 510-516-2439. Or you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And do you know someone who's hurting and needs hope? Maybe you're listening and need hope. Well, regardless, check out my story from Celebrate Recovery on YouTube. If you were encouraged by it and learned something from it, please share it with others and use the hashtag Gospel-Centered Autism Awareness whenever you do so. You can find my story on YouTube as Celebrate Recovery Testimony Dave Chu, or you can go to chewmadenew.com and click on the link that says, "Click here to watch my testimony." Until next time, peace out and God bless. Cinco's!